Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the opportunity to meet together once again. And Lord, I pray that you protect our Zoom technology so that we can have an uninterrupted time of fellowship together around your word and in prayer. I pray, Father, for those who are trying to reach the building. I pray that you would make a safe way for them to come and that they might be able to find parking not too far away. I pray as well, Lord, for those who are on Zoom, that you would encourage their hearts, that even though they can't be here with us physically, that they can enjoy the fellowship and connection that we can have through Zoom. And so, Lord, now we ask that you would have your will and your way in the rest of the service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I guess I better show my face here. I haven't turned on the there it is. Okay. All right. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 as we continue our study of this psalm. As we come to verse 5, it's important to keep in mind that what emerges in this poem, really what the psalm is a Hebrew poem, is the picture of a contented sheep in the care of his loving shepherd in the course of a year. The time of year is now summer. The shepherd has led the sheep out of the winter home pastures, through the mountain valleys and passes, and now up to the upland pastures, the tablelands, if you will, or mesas, as they say in English, okay? The Spanish word for table is mesa, okay? So as they are most often called throughout the world. In fact, even in Kiswahili, in Kenya, it's called mesa, a plateau, a country, tableland. So if you have your Bible open to Psalm 23, would you skip down to verse 5 and follow along as I read this verse for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Although this verse seems to temporarily leave the picture of a shepherd and his sheep and move personally to David's current situation, there is an important continuing picture of the care of a shepherd for his sheep that we don't want to miss here. For that reason, we're going to narrow our focus this evening on just the first part of this verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. To keep our focus on the parallel between a shepherd taking care of his sheep and the Lord taking care of us, we see here that the good shepherd prepares the tablelands for his sheep. You prepare a table before me. He surveys the area and remedies whatever needs to be changed in order to make it safe and healthful for his sheep. There are three main categories of problems for the sheep that the shepherd needs to protect them from. The first thing the shepherd must address is poisonous plants. A careful shepherd will pull weeds and flowers which are poisonous to sheep. One example of this is the white camas. This poisonous plant is an attractive white flower with lily-like leaves. It's especially poisonous to little lambs. After eating white camas, they become paralyzed, stiffen up, and then die. The white camas is a picture of the attractive but destructive, if not deadly, temptations which the careless Christian may succumb to. Pornography may look attractive, especially to a teen boy, but it quickly becomes addictive, will harm his relationship with the Lord, and can destroy his future relationship with a godly woman he would like to marry someday. Recreational drugs may look attractive when the popular crowd encourage you to try them out, but they too quickly become addictive and expensive and can destroy your health, your job, and your family. Gambling may look attractive, but the adrenaline high will soon fade as the losses and then debts mount up and your finances and life are in ruins. Of course, we could list a dozen others, but I think you get the drift. Things may look attractive, but they are destructive. Just as a careful shepherd will pull weeds and flowers which are poisonous to a sheep, so the Lord goes before us to protect our path and pasture. We can find an example of this preventative care in our Lord's care for Peter in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Here Jesus says this, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Interesting, here the Lord Jesus in his humanity was praying for Peter. He went ahead and in a preventative move, he prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we're told this, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." So wonderful that our shepherd goes before us and prepares the way. You say, well, wow, I think I've hit some pretty bad temptations in a way. I don't know if he's prepared. Yeah, just think about what would happen if he had not gone ahead and prepared the way. In addition to poisonous plants, the second thing a careful shepherd must address is polluted water holes. A careful shepherd will clean out water holes of the trash and decaying leaves that have accumulated over the winter. And he will also clean out the water springs of debris and plant growth that are choking the little streams of water that fill the pools. In the same way, our Lord makes sure we have everything we need to flourish and grow spiritually. You know, a lot of times we aren't aware of what God does in order to do that, to allow us to flourish. If we knew everything he did, we would be astonished. We would be surprised, I think, because a lot of us go through life unthinking, you know, not really thinking about what God does for us. And we just react to what we see and what we hear and experience. We don't know what's happening. I remember hearing of car accidents on the highway, and the fact that we would come, maybe a minute or 30 seconds after it happened, and I'm just thinking, wow, the Lord said, don't go over the speed limit. If you go over the speed limit, you're going to be in that accident. And, you know, it makes you think. But God is like that. In addition to poisonous plants and polluted water holes, the third thing a careful shepherd must address is predatory animals. This is where the next phrase in verse 5 is especially appropriate, "in the presence of my enemies." The careful shepherd notices the signs of deadly predators like cougars and wolves and bears and coyotes, and will hunt down or trap them before the sheep come, or will keep his sheep away from dangerous parts of the tableland pasture. Philip Keller, as I mentioned him before, the Christian shepherd who raised sheep in Kenya a few years before the time that I lived there, wrote of the cougars that would attack his sheep. "Of all the predators, cougars are the most vicious and treacherous of all. Cougars killed ewes, tore them open, drained their blood, and ate their livers, and that's all they would eat. Sometimes a cougar would tear other sheep viciously for the fun of it, just like a cat plays with a mouse. Other times cougars stampeded the flock until they fell and broke bones. In all the time that Philip Keller shepherded sheep there in Kenya, he never caught or saw a cougar. They were that hard to spot. They would come at night." Our enemy Satan is much like that cougar. He desires to destroy and maim us spiritually and even physically. We must be constantly vigilant against his attacks by watching in prayer and staying close to our good shepherd. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Just like the good shepherd prepares the tablelands for his sheep, so the Lord has planned for us an abundant Christian life above the world. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord Jesus said this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." He's speaking of Satan here. He goes on, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Christ endured the privations and persecution in his life and then agonies in his death for us. The Lord has gone ahead of us, just like the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep to prepare the tablelands. He has endured everything we will be called upon to endure. He's entered into our sorrows. And our trials and our temptations. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, we read this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a promise. So what does it mean to live the abundant life? I think I could preach two or three messages on this, and it probably wouldn't cover it sufficiently, but let me just outline it for us. Living the abundant life means to walk close to Him in perfect fellowship, with no unconfessed sin separating us. Remember, the Bible says your sins have separated between you and Him. So to live the abundant life also means to walk in ways of holiness, selflessness, and contentment in His care. To live the abundant life also means to depend on and experience His strengthening grace to abound to every good work. The Lord has provided all the blessings of the abundant life out of love for us, His sheep. The first blessing is peace and contentment. In John chapter 14, verse 27, the Lord Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you." My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And then in the next, two chapters later, John chapter 16, verse 33, he says this, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." The second blessing is joy. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we read, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, we read, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Just in case you forget, what's the definition of hope in the Bible? Confident expectation. Okay, so may the God of confident expectation fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in confident expectation by the power of the Holy Spirit. A third blessing is close fellowship. Intimacy, getting to know Him better, and getting to know His will more fully. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, we read this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul's desire was to know Christ, to really know him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So, are you experiencing the abundant Christian life? Will you confess any sin that you're aware of and surrender to your loving shepherd's care and discipline and stay close to him each day? Will you spend time in his word and in prayer? When he has done so much for you to purchase your salvation and then to provide for your well-being in every way, why would you delay any longer from following him to the abundant life of the tablelands of his love? Higher Ground, the hymn that we sang at the beginning of this meeting, I wonder if you would think of these words and maybe get somebody else to read the words of this hymn. Would you turn to number 308 and read the words to this hymn? Don't have to read the chorus, but at least read the four stanzas, because my voice is about to go, I don't know why. So. Who would like to read? Yeah. Real loud.
Okay, I'm going to turn the...
Not sing it, read it, right?
Read it.
Because nobody's paying attention. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the songs of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Thank you, Karina, for that.